Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we will continue our teaching on not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Again, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And please go to verse 24 and 25. And I'm going to be using the Amplified Study Bible. So if there are some words that are different from yours, please do not be concerned. We will get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you that. Beginning with verse 24. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good works, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as we see the habit of some, but encouraging one another as all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Now, please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm 133. Again, that's Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And we're going to read verses 1 to 3. And it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil of consecration poured on the head, coming down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, coming down upon the edge of his priestly robes, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon, coming down on the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Amen. So we see here in the Word of God that we as born again believers ought to be assembling ourselves together for love and to do good works, and also as believers for worship and instructions. And we are to dwell together in unity. Amen. And I want to emphasize in unity, because there's a lot of times when people get together and there's no unity. There's nothing but discord. But God wants us to come together in love, to do good works, and to encourage each other. And also, we have to understand that we also there for instruction, religious instruction. Amen? And that's so very, very important. Now, this teaching on not forsaking ourselves together was pricked in my spirit because I read an article where young people have decided that they don't need to go to church anymore. And it gave 17 reasons why they're not attending church. But as I said before, I like to do what I call a spiritual consumer's report as to what they say in terms of not going to church versus what God says that we should go to church. And we're going to put them together and match them up and see which one is the truth. Now, as you can see, God wants his children to assemble together, again, for love to one another and for good deeds and to show unity. This fellowship will command the blessings from God and, more importantly, his blessings, life and life everlasting. Amen. Now, our last time together, we were discussing one of the 17 reasons why young people have decided not to attend church again. And one of it was financial expectations and obligations. Again, financial expectations and obligations, which happens to be one of the reasons young people have decided to stop attending traditional church settings. They, the young people, are skeptical about how their funds are being used and allocated. Now, whenever there is money involved in any form of transaction, Satan is in the mix, and he's going to see to it that there is some form of confusion, because that is what he does. He is the father of confusion. Amen? He wants to start discord among the brethren. But God is telling us to assemble ourselves together in love and to do good deeds. Amen? Now, I explain that there are two sections or divisions that make up the church. One is the religious division, and the other is the business division. Now, the church is like a coin. On one side of the coin, you have the head, and the other side, you have the tails. Well, this particular coin, you have the religious, and then you have the business. Now, the religious division of the church is overseen by the under-shepherd, the pastor, who is appointed by God, and his main responsibility is to perfect the saints by the teaching of the word. Amen? Now, his main job and responsibilities as a pastor is to teach the word. So he really shouldn't have to be concerned about the business side. His main obligation is for study, for research, for prayer, and meditating of the word. So when he stands before God's people, he's able to minister the word in simplicity and in truth. Amen? Now, the next division is what we call the business side of the church. Now, this is the one most people do not get a chance to see, the behind-the-door operations. And this is where we left off last week. Because the young people in that article that I was reading were speaking about their skepticism and their doubt to what the church is doing with their donations. I believe one must understand that the church, absent from its religious responsibilities, is a business. And just like any other business, they have bills and responsibilities that they are obligated to pay. Just as any other business has the same responsibilities. Now, let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 12. Again, that's 2 Kings chapter 12. And let's look at something here in terms of the word of God. So if you had 2 Kings 12, let's begin with verse number 4. And it says, "And Joash said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the monies that a man possesses or purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord. But let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituencies, and let them repair the damages of the temple." And let them do what? Let them repair the damages of the temple. Whatever any dilapidation is found. So we see here in the word of God that the monies that were brought in, the priests were to take it and to repair any of the dilapidations that was found in the church. Anything that was broken, they ought to repair it. Now, I believe their questioning of the young people of what the church is doing with the money is a legitimate question and concern for any church member to have an understanding where their monies are being used and allocated. But to stop attending church without investigating, I believe it's somewhat premature to do so. But it is a valid question to ask. But being in the people business, you have all type of people that listen to all type of voices and spirits, and they are influenced by them. Unfortunately, I used to be one who questioned what the pastor was doing with the finances also. I was listening to outside forces that were being controlled by satanic forces. It wasn't until I was taught the word of God that I finally understood how the finances were being allocated. And you need to understand that. And because there is a process in everything with God. That's why the word of God says God is not the author of confusion. Amen. And so once you understand what the business side of the church is, then you can understand where the monies is going. Now, please go to Malachi chapter 3. Again, that's Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 10. Malachi 3:10. And it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." So what he says, all the tithes. So all the tithes should come into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, or money in my house, or resources in my house. It says, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. See, those tithes are for the finances to support the church and its financial responsibilities. And once you bring in the tithes, then your church that or the sanctuary that you are attending will be well taken care of. This generation of young people is not really concerned about where the monies are going, but they are being influenced by Satan and his lies to question the pastor and his integrity. Yes, there have been incidents of pastors guilty of taking the church's finances and using them for personal gain. That is another reason you should pray for your pastor that he would do the right thing in regards to the church finances. But if you are going to use that analogy, then you're going to have to use it for everyone, including lawyers, doctors, insurance agencies, everything. Because, you know, you have doctors, lawyers, insurance agents, you know, they do things that are shady too. And so just because they steal some of the money, are you going to stop going to the doctor? Are you going to stop going to a lawyer when you need his legal assistance? I don't think so. You're just going to find somebody else that is honest and that's going to do the work correctly for you. Same way with the Word of God. If you believe that the church that you're attending, that the pastor is doing something that is in violation of God's word, because all this money is God's money, and the responsibility of the money is on the pastor. And so he has a responsibility to act according to the word of God in terms of the finances. But if you feel as though he is not doing what he should do, then you need to pray on it. Speak to him first. You need to go to the pastor and speak to him. Now, if his answers are not satisfying to you, then you should possibly find a new church. But to not stop coming to church, I don't believe you should do that. Because like I said, if you're going to use that analogy, then stop going to the doctors. Stop going to the lawyers. Stop going to this. Stop going to that. Because it's the same principle. Amen? Now, in the case of Kansas City Christian Faith Center, we have a board of directors that oversees the operation of the church. We have articles of operation that govern our business side of the ministry. And I, as the pastor and the president of the corporation, I cannot supersede them without approval from the board. Amen. This way, we have a checks and balances of all the business operations of the ministry, and no one, and I repeat, and no one can arbitrarily do something in violation of our bylaws. Amen. We just not allow that. Our bylaws will not allow that to happen. We are a ministry that believes in transparency, and we believe in full disclosure in all areas. Now, of course, there are some legal and financial matters that are privy only to the board. But if a member were to come to make a request, we would make every effort to accommodate that request as long as he or she is a member of our church and a member in good standing. Amen. Because we don't have to, just because you want to come and ask questions, we don't have to give you an answer. I mean, you don't even find that in the business world. You just can't go to your doctor and ask him, well, what he's doing with the money you paid him for the services rendered to you by him. He doesn't have any obligation to answer that to you, and neither do we. But again, like I say, we believe in full transparency, and we would make every effort to accommodate you in your concern about where the money's going. But when you look at the monies going, those monies are there because your church needs repair. You know, sometimes churches need painting. Sometimes the carpet needs to be replaced. You have to make sure that all the utilities stay on, especially in the winter or the summer, that you have proper heating. So when people come in, it can be nice and comfortable for them to enjoy the service. Or in the summer, you make sure the air conditioners work. So those bills must be paid. The last time I heard, Satan is not giving the church any money, and God certainly is not dropping any money down from the sky. Amen. And he's not printing any money because he would get arrested for being a person who is producing money and don't have the authorization to do that as a counterfeiter. And we don't want our father to be arrested as a counterfeiter. Amen. So it has to come by some means, and it comes through the means of the church, the body. So, like I said, we have a board, and we also have what we call a yearly business meeting. Now, at that meeting, and we encourage all our members to attend, we give an annual report of what we did the previous year. We give a financial report, and we let everybody know where every penny is going. So you don't have to question us about what is going on with the money. So you should come to our church. Amen. Because, like I said, we're transparent. We don't have anything to hide. And I, as the pastor, I don't never see the money. I don't know how much is coming in. The only reason I might know something is that if I'm having a business deal going on and I need an answer for something for some other type of reason, and I might ask, well, what is our balance is, or what is the money that's allocated for missions? What is that? And then so I have a reason to know. But other than that, I don't have a reason to know, because that's not my area of responsibility as the pastor. Amen. But like I said, we have a business meeting, and we have given our congregation the opportunity to come. And as the reports are given by the different department heads, then we're able to explain that to you. So we have no problem with that. Like I said, if you have a problem with your pastor, then you should go to him. Go to him as a man, and he as a pastor should have the decency to sit down with you and explain those things with you, if he has the opportunity or the time. Amen. So I would encourage those young people to first commit themselves to the Word of God. Commit yourself to the Word of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And it says, again, this is from the Amplified Study Bible. It says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all irrelevant babbles and godless chatter with its profane, empty words, for it will lead to further ungodliness. So we as Christians, it says here, it says we need to study. Study his word so we can understand God's principles in terms of his money and his religious teachings of us in terms of our instruction and our discipline as children of God. Amen. And we are to avoid endless babbles and godless chatter because all that do is lead to further ungodliness. Amen. Now remember, the church, the body of Christ, us, the born-again believers, is consistently being attacked from new forms of satanic trickery. And we have to be aware of Satan and his tricks. These forms of media and online communications are not bad. They are neutral. And when they are used in their proper supervision, it helps us so we can have more time to fellowship one to another and praise the Lord. Now, my final scripture for this teaching on not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Please go to the book of Acts, verse number 42. Acts, verse number 42. And it simply says this: and they continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Amen. So I just hope this teaching on not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together was just some information as a spiritual consumer's report that let us know that we are to continue to assemble ourselves one to another for love and good deeds. You know what? I'm just about out of time, but please remember these words from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.